This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi tawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina may yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Amma ba'd, faqad qala Allahu ta'ala fi al-Qur'anil Majid, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. المؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. Continuing on our topic about some of the reasons why many young people are not getting married and why divorce rates have skyrocketed. What we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to take one point each and discuss it over an entire khutbah, because in reality, this problem we are facing in the 21st century doesn't have one cause. There are many reasons why we have this new problem of too many divorces and a lot of people not even wanting to get married in the first place. And today I want to discuss a very specific point that I believe isn't discussed at all in our community. And it's something that's affecting the mindsets of the younger generation. And that is the gender war. Right, this new age idea of men seeing women as the enemy and women seeing men as the enemy. Right, this is a new idea which the older generation might not even have heard about. Because for the bulk of human history, men and women understood their roles in society, their gender differences, and their need for each other. Right, there was this interdependence. Men knew that they needed wives, and women knew that they needed husbands. And both of them were fine with this. Everybody was fine with the social order, and it worked well for all of human history until the 20th century. But in the 20th century, a series of events took place that led to the breakdown of families, that led to the skyrocketing of divorce, that led to an outbreak of zina, and that led to the mess that the Ummah is in today. And these problems started in the West. They started with non-Muslim communities, but they leaked into the Muslim community and they became our problems. And now we are dealing with the outcome of that. Everywhere I go, I meet young men who don't want to get married. I meet young women who don't want to get married. And then I meet some who get married and are divorced within a few days or a few weeks or a few months over the weakest of reasons. Now, I'm not saying divorce is bad. Divorce is something which is necessary at times. At times. But these days, it's become the easy way out instead of working together to solve problems which sometimes aren't even problems to begin with. So today's discussion, I want to frame it around a verse in the Quran, Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 71, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minatu ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd," that the believing men and the believing woman, they are allies and friends of each other. And this is a verse in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, believing men and believing women are friends and allies of each other. They command what is good, they forbid what is evil, they establish salah, they give charity, and they obey Allah and His Messenger. This verse, I believe, gives us a solution to this problem that we are facing. And it gives us a very solid foundation for happy marriages. Now, what's interesting about this verse is when you open the classical books of tafsir, most of them don't actually have an explanation of this verse. You don't really go into any details explaining this verse. Why? Well, I thought about it and I realized that for the bulk of human history, this verse was self-explanatory. For the bulk of human history, you didn't need to tell a man that women are your friends. You didn't need to tell a woman that men are your friends. It was self-explanatory. Men and women support each other, they assist each other, they need each other. This is something all societies understood until the modern world. But a series of events occurred in the modern world that broke this down. And now for the first time in history, we have to teach this to people. Because we have women today who believe that all men are trash. And if you believe all men are trash, you're not going to be happy with any man as a husband. We have women today who believe that masculinity is toxic. If you believe masculinity is toxic and you don't want a feminine husband, you're never going to find a man that you're happy with, because you don't want him to be masculine and you don't want him to be feminine. What do you want him to be? You don't have a definition of a good man. We have men who believe all women are, you know, they say naqisatul aql, that there's something wrong with their brains. You're not going to be able to form a good relationship with a woman if you have this kind of idea of her. We have men today who think that all women are feminists. You're not going to find a good wife if this is your mindset of women. So we have this problem today, where men and women are seeing each other as the enemy. And when you have this idea that the opposite gender is your enemy, that you have to fight the patriarchy, that you have to fight feminism, that you have to, you know, stop the opposite gender, you are never going to be able to form a meaningful relationship with a member of the opposite gender. Not even with your own parents, leave alone getting married and forming a good relationship with your spouse. Because a woman who thinks that masculinity is toxic or that men are trash, she's not even going to be able to have a good relationship with her own father. Right? And a man who thinks that all women are stupid, he's not going to have a good relationship with his own mother. So we have to let go of these ideas. These ideas, which do not come from Islam, they come from modern man-made ideologies. These ideas are detrimental to society. And these ideas are destroying our families. Now there's a history behind these ideas. And I want to very briefly walk us through the history so that we understood, so we understand what went wrong and then we can fix it. Right? Because these ideas did not creep into our community out of nowhere. Things happened that caused people in our community to embrace these wrong ideas. And some of what I'm going to say may be a bit controversial, but we have to say it in order to fix the problem. When Islam came to this region 100 years ago, we brought with it a lot of cultural baggage that people said was Islam. But these cultural practices were not Islam. They were part of a different culture. And some of these practices were very unjust towards women. Right? We have to be clear. Some of these practices that we brought from other countries to South Africa and said that this is Islamic when it has nothing to do with the Quran and Sunnah or any madhab, these practices, many of them were unjust towards women. And many of them made life very difficult for Muslim women. And young ladies growing up in South Africa with two different cultures, they're seeing their home culture where women are treated badly in the name of Islam, with practices that have nothing to do with Islam. And then they see the Western culture where women have all this so-called freedom because of feminism. What happened because of that? We have an entire generation of Muslim women who moved away from Islam towards feminism. Or they made up their own thing in the middle called Islamic feminism, right? Which isn't a real thing. Right? There's no Islamic feminism because feminism's foundations are Islamic. So we now have a generation of women who wanting to fight these problems and not seeing any solutions within Islam. And by the way, for all of these problems, there are solutions within Islam. Like all of these problems we have in our community where people are mistreating women in the name of Islam, if you actually just go back to the Quran and Sunnah, you go back to the actual sources of fiqh, you go back to the principles of the madhabs, you can solve these problems. You can find just and balanced solutions. Even within each madhab, there are just and balanced solutions. The problem is, instead of looking deep into our religion for solutions, you know, we began to push these cultural practices as if they are divinely inspired. And if you don't understand what cultural practices I'm talking about, for example, the idea that a woman is like a servant to her in-laws. This is the cultural practice that is somehow still prevalent in many parts of our community, and it is driving women away from Islam. It is driving women away from Islam. And now we have the opposite extreme, where a woman doesn't want to do anything good for her in-laws. Right? So now we have two opposite extremes. Right? One where the woman is oppressed by her in-laws, and one where she doesn't even want to be nice to her in-laws. While the Islamic practice is, you know, you have your rights, they have their rights, everybody works together, we are awliya of each other, we are friends to each other. That biblical part. So the story doesn't stop there, by the way. Many people stop there. They think that, okay, we had these cultural practices that pushed women away. They became feminists and our feminism is the problem. But what many people are not seeing is right now in the world, there's another problem starting. A reaction to feminism that is just as bad. Because what's happening is, because feminism has destroyed marriages over the past 40 years, we now have a new movement amongst men that is a counter-feminism. That is a hatred for women. That is a hatred for marriage. There's a hatred of anything to do with women. We have this new age mentality where men now see women as the enemy. And they don't want to get married. They don't want to have the responsibility of women. They don't want anything to do with women. And so now, many of the elders are confused. They tell, you know, the sons or the grandsons who get married, and the son's like, I don't want anything to do with women. Women are trouble. And they don't understand where this is coming from. This is coming from outside ideologies, right? Many ideologies that your youth are exposed to on the internet. I'm not mentioning the names because I don't want the YouTube to go and Google it and become exposed to it. But there are these new age ideologies that are portraying women as the enemy. And so now, this problem is becoming compounded. We have cultural practices that people are pushing as part of Islam, they have nothing to do with Islam. And this is pushing women away from Islam. Then the women leaving, going away from Islam are going towards feminism. And feminism is bringing new problems into our community. Right? Because if you look at the foundations of feminism, it's all about, you know, freedoms on a level that causes anarchy. For example, one of the foundations of feminism is the freedom for women to commit zina. This is one of the foundations of feminism. The freedom to commit zina. No society will ever succeed when people want freedom to commit zina. Zina is the cause of the downfall of every society. And then we wonder how we got to where we are. And then the problem is compounded where men, now upset by feminism, go to the opposite extreme and start new movements. And so now you have a generation of young women growing up thinking that masculinity is toxic and that men are trash. And you have a generation of young men growing up thinking that women are trouble and women are feminists and women are the enemy. And you wonder why they don't want to get married. And I say the solution always comes from Islam. You see, when you replace a man-made ideology with another man-made ideology, you're always going to be replacing one set of problems with a new set of problems. The only way to solve a problem is to go back to what Allah has revealed. And that is what this Quran, this is what these verses in the Quran do. They give us a solution. And my call today for anyone who has hatred towards the opposite gender is to look towards the Quran's message. Because the Quran tells us that we all need each other. Al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minatu ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. Believing men and believing women are each other's friends and allies. We need each other. The Quran creates for us this interdependence. An interdependence between men and women. Men have certain qualities that women don't. Women have certain qualities that men don't. We need each other to function properly. Men need wives. Women need husbands. Children need mothers and fathers. We need each other. And when we work together, when we ally with each other, when we see the opposite gender as someone who can benefit, that working together can benefit this ummah with the opposite gender, then we have a stable and a positive foundation for our marriage. And so my call towards anyone who has animosity towards the opposite gender is to reframe the way you look at the opposite gender. You see, men are not the problem and women are not the problem. It is these modern man-made ideologies that are the problem. Delete these ideologies from your mind and replace it with Islam. Replace these ideologies with Islam, with the Quran and the Sunnah. And you will find that when you do this, you will have a much more healthier relationship with every member of the opposite gender in your family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to be amongst those who live by Islam and practice what He preaches. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi wahda wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da amma ba'd. So how do we be allies to each other? What does this even mean? What does it mean for men and women to treat each other as allies? Well, if you break down this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies believing men and believing women. By specifying the two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that there's a difference between a believing man and a believing woman. It doesn't make one better than the other, but it means both of them have something the other needs. Right? So for example, in general, and I know I'm being a bit stereotypical here, but in general, men are more physically strong. And generally, women need a man in their life to protect them from abusive people. Right? Likewise, women generally understand emotions better. And a man often needs a woman to help him understand other people's emotions. And any man who has a good relationship with a woman knows this, that there are times where someone's talking to you and you don't understand their feelings, and your wife will tell you that person's depressed. That person's asking you for help. And you never caught it up yourself because she has a better understanding of emotions than you. We need each other. We both have different strengths. Allah created us like this. And one of the first things that we need to do if we want marriages to start working again is for men and women to understand what Allah has made them good at, understand the roles and responsibilities Allah has given them in this world, and to be happy with how Allah made them. This is the key point. Because now we're reaching whole new levels of fitna. when now women want to be men and men want to be women, I don't mean they just want to be treated like a man or treated like a woman. They're literally changing their genders. We've reached a whole new level of it now, where a man will want to walk into a woman's bathroom and say, "No, I identify as a woman." It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, but this is where society is going. One of the first things we need to do is be happy with what Allah created us as. A woman should be proud to be a believing woman, Muslim woman. And a man should be proud to be a believing Muslim man. And both of them should embrace everything that comes along with that. And what comes along with that, inshallah, we will discuss that in future khutbahs. We'll discuss what is Islamic masculinity, what is Islamic femininity, and how both of these are necessary for a happy home, how both of these are necessary for a marriage to work, how both of these are necessary for society to thrive and to survive. So what do we need to do to be awliya to each other? Number one, recognize your gender and the roles and responsibilities and the strengths and weaknesses that come with it, and be happy with how Allah made you and embrace that completely. Embrace it completely. Number two, focus on your relationships in the following order of priority. Number one, your relationship with Allah. Number one, your relationship with Allah. Your number one priority in life should be the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That takes precedence over everything else. After Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your family. Focus on your family. And last, focus on your career or your source of income. You see, capitalism has pushed us to put the career first. We put our careers before Allah. We put our careers before our families. And we wonder why our families are breaking down and why people don't have good relationships with their children or their spouses anymore. It's because we only focused on money. We only focused on money. Very often there are families that can live off a single income, so someone can look after the children, but they want to earn a double income because they just want more and more and more. I'm not saying the other situations are the opposite. In South Africa, there are many situations where both the husband and wife have to work because of the cost of living. But there are also many situations where there's this capitalistic greed in us, where we just want more. Where you have this huge house and you want a bigger house. You're going for holiday twice a year, you go for holiday four times a year. We just want more. So put that aside. Understand that first comes Allah, then comes your family, then comes the dunya. The dunya should never be number one. This world should not be our number one goal. As long as we make this world our number one goal, we will always have problems. And again, I've seen this in the problems in the marriage market today. So many young men from South Africa, from the United Kingdom, from the USA, they complain to me and they say, when I go and meet women for proposals, they only have one thing they want in life. They only care about their careers. They don't want to have children. They don't want to, you know, support a husband in any emotional way. They don't want to play the role of a wife. They just want to focus on their career. And nobody wants that in a wife. To be frank, a man doesn't want that in a wife. And if you want to be completely frank, that's not what a man's looking for when he's looking to get married. So we need to move away from this idea that life's all about making money. And we need to move away from this idea that, you know, my career or my business or my source of income comes first. That should have its place. That should be there. But family is more important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most important above all of this. Number three, we should, in any interaction with the opposite gender, focus on being just and compassionate. Focus on being just and compassionate when dealing with the opposite gender. Do not use the advantages that Allah has given you to mistreat a member of the opposite gender. Do not use it to mistreat a member of the opposite gender. Right? Do not be abusive to your spouses. Do not be oppressive to your children. Do not mistreat someone because of any reason. If we are people of justice and compassion, we will bring people towards Islam. But if we are abusing people and using Islam as an excuse to abuse people, then we become the reason that people run away from Islam. And finally, focus on win-win situations. Focus on helping each other to get to Jannah. Focus on helping each other to get the best of the dunya and the akhirah. Do not treat each other as enemies. Let's go back to the verse and let's conclude by looking at the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, believing men and believing women are allies and friends of each other. Ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd. That they are friends and allies to each other. How? What do we do? Ya'muruna bil ma'ruf. That together, collectively, Muslim men and women, they call to what is good. وَيَنْحَوْنَا لِلْمُلْكَ And they forbid what is evil. This should be the foundation of your relationship. That a man and a woman with each other should be calling towards what is good and forbidding what is evil. If a man is not waking up for Fajr, his wife or his mother or his daughter should tell him to wake up for Fajr. Command what is good. If a woman is not observing hijab properly, her husband or her father should have the right and should have the, you know, the, again, to do it with compassion and justice, to teach her how to observe hijab properly. It shouldn't be that we treat each other as enemies, like, who are you to tell me what to do? But rather, we should thank each other for helping us get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should thank each other for helping us to find our way back to Allah. To command what is good and forbid what is evil is the foundation of an Islamic relationship. What else? وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They establish the salah. A good marriage, the foundation is that both parties are people who pray five times a day. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. And they give zakah. Generosity is the foundation of a good marriage. وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. And finally, the most important one, they obey Allah and His Messenger. For a marriage to succeed, it must be founded upon the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. And this is why I say, for our marriages to work, we have to delete from our minds these man-made ideologies. We have to delete these ideas. These ideas are destroying marriages. Whether it is these new, you know, masculine movements that treat women as enemies, whether it is this new age feminism, whatever it is, any idea that is invented by human beings about how the opposite gender is, it is today, especially the ones being invented today, destructive to society. For a family to work, we go back to the Quran. And the Quran tells us, يُتِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَ. Obey Allah and His Messenger. When a man is obedient to Allah and His Messenger, and his wife is obedient to Allah and His Messenger, then there's a much stronger chance of the marriage working. Of course, there are other factors that can lead to divorce, but this is a foundation. This is a good foundation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from those who understand the Quran and live by it. May He make our homes places of peace. May He make our homes a source of barakah, a source of righteousness and goodness. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما سبحان رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة